Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Me, Sister Faiza Munshi. My guest on the line is Duncan Woods. Welcome to Radio Islam and thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Faiza. Good to be here.
Just tell us briefly what it is that you're passionate about and what it is that you do before we get into today's program, Duncan.
So thank you. I'm a kind of mental and leadership coach for So Serene, which is a platform, a health and well-being platform.
Okay, and we're talking today about why, you know, often we talk about why we can do a lot, why we have to do so much. But today we're talking about something a little bit different. We do live in a time where we have to do a lot of it. We have to do it all. But we mentioned today that we're talking about dealing with not being able to do it all. Why do you see this, Duncan, from the work that you do and, you know, the experience that you have? Why is this something important to talk about?
Yeah, it is really important, you know, and I think it's getting more important as the digital kind of frontier continues to take more and more space out of our lives. So I think it's really important to help people with an approach to finding that so-called balance between their professional lives and their personal responsibilities. So we are really working really hard on just trying to be proactive in helping people to find those rhythms. They might not always feel completely balanced, but to find the right rhythms that can support you to achieve what you wanting to achieve and helping you do so in a kind of holistic manner.
And when we look at, the program that we're talking about today, there's a lot of women listening, a lot of mothers, so there's a lot of family dynamics involved. But when we look at the evolution of what's happening, you know, within the workspace over the last couple of decades, how things are changing, how has this really impacted on our thought that, you know, as human beings, we just want to be able to do it all? And if I speak particularly perhaps about mothers, for example, you know, the idea that as mothers, you want to be able to work, run a home, you know, make sure that your kids are still doing extramurals, all of it is falling into the lap of both parents, but often, you know, with regard to women. Where has that sort of led us to as society, as communities?
Yeah, you're quite right. And a lot of the people that we see who struggle the most are mothers. You know, the maternal instinct and the maternal responsibilities never seem to go away. You know, no matter what, how much you lean into your professional career or not, those responsibilities seem to remain constant. And I think that's where a lot of working women really feel an additional amount of pressure on themselves. So what we try and do is just help them to have an approach to that. You know, anything in life that you want to, be good at, you need an approach and you need some tools and you need some support to do it. So, yeah, absolutely. It's probably most difficult when you have those motherly or domestic responsibilities that we've come to love and respect and appreciate in all the women in our lives. But then we need to acknowledge that we need to support them, and there need to be tools made available to mothers and to women in the workplace to help them to find that balance for themselves, to be empowered, to feel like they are winning the game, as opposed to feeling like they might always be no matter where they are, someone else is suffering because they weren't at the other place. So, yeah, it's just about being proactive with it. It's about providing tools for really busy people of all walks of life to try and have those tools that we need.
So when we talk about tools, Duncan, could you enlighten us in terms of the kind of work that you do, and what would somebody coming to you, speaking to you, you know, looking at saying, you know what, I'm struggling, I've been trying to do it all, but now it's all falling through the cracks. You know, what in a practical sense are you really talking about in terms of helping people through that journey?
So, you know, all good things happen on a daily basis. So the habits that we do every day, if we put those together, we will build a good week. And then if you have a good week, then you put a few good weeks together and you start to build a good month. So the methodology that we're working with is kind of helping people with a platform that gives them the daily habits and supports the daily habits. And if you can do a few good habits today and you get those right and you feel empowered and you feel like you're building some momentum and you do it again tomorrow, that's how we start to help people build an approach that actually sticks. So on the So Serene platform, we have three pillars really, which is nourishment. So how we look at food and as fuel, and food as kind of an essential part of being a well human. Then we talk about exercise and movement, how we can at any level find a movement regime that you can do every day or a few times a week at least, that just helps you to feel like you are progressing and winning and you're starting to feel more healthy. And then the third one is kind of where I get involved, is more the mindset. So we have a platform called Calm, which is on the SoSerene platform, which then just helps people to have a daily practice that works for them. So it can be something like a meditation, it can be something more on mindset around what are the helpful thoughts that you need to think today that's going to help you feel empowered, feel like you're winning, feel like you have this in hand. So if we can do those every day and we can be supporting people every day, then they start to build up this momentum. Put in a few good days, put in a good few weeks, and then you start to have this new pattern in your life where there's a breath of fresh air coming in. And I think that that support is what's needed just to keep it going.
And, you know, I just, as you're saying that, I'm thinking this as a mom, I think about the fact that as adults, if we don't have these sort of habits and the habit building and the ability to be able to cope and keep our feet on the ground, we're then bringing up a generation that's also quite frazzled. Are we not, Duncan?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we always talk about time being your biggest asset, but actually I heard recently, which I think is quite true, that attention is our new superpower. What you can give your attention to becomes your potential in life. You know, time, we can have a lot of free time, but we can spend a lot of free time scrolling through social media. So I think it's really valuable just to have, as you say, to have those habits, to be have our attention, be intentional about time spent with family. Must be good time spent with family, and time spent doing work must be good time spent doing work. And if we can just take back a little bit of that ownership around the attention that we have and the intention that we put into it, all of a sudden you start taking back control of your life. So the daily habits that we put in place about keeping your attention, about being intentional, about being where you are, those things start to add up.
That brings up a very interesting conversation point, and that is the family dynamics. You know, how much have we evolved? I mean, we're talking about a culture now. You mentioned social media, you mentioned our attention span. Family dynamics has changed. A lot of people need two incomes. There's both parents out of the house, kids are around, but nobody's really present, are they? Because even when we're together, we are in all sorts of spheres in our mind. How do we, you know, sort of move from this family dynamic of everyone's in different places to bringing some balance with career, family responsibility, all of that? How do we bring that back to really a core space?
Absolutely. So we help people with personal habits, but I think your point is extremely valid, that let's build some family habits. So, for example, when we are sitting down for a meal, that we're all present and we can kind of co-contract on, right, when we're here, we're here. There's no devices, there's no TV going in the background. Let's be here and let's invest in that time. And then you can, you know, you can contract to the kids. I'm a father of three, and we can say, listen, at the dinner table, there's no devices. And you might get a little bit of a fight if there's something that they really want to watch at that time, but sooner enough, we're all on board. So if you could just contract better, you know, I think in families, device time is not going away. But if we can contract around it and we can develop some good family habits around it, then we can all agree that there's a time for immersing yourself in the digital world, and there's a time for being present and being real.
Now, Duncan, I want to put a bit of a spoke in the wheel here, because we're talking about a life where it's a lot of hustle culture. Parents are out there trying to make sure that they can make ends meet. They're trying to do the best they can. They're trying to get their kids to private schooling. They're trying to whatever it is. And that means sometimes that as much as a parent wants to put those, you know, rules in place and say, these are the contractual rules, we set to dinner together without a phone, oftentimes it's not the kids with their devices, it's the parents. And what effect are we seeing because parents are not able to actually just put a stop for half an hour of a day to be able to have a meal with their family? What is the impact of something like this? long term, and what are we looking at in terms of why should we start looking at it? Like you're saying, we can't do it all the time. So that means we've got to bring some contracts in. But, you know, it's very difficult for many individuals as adults to actually put that phone down and put that contract in place. Talk us through sort of the dynamic of that kind of thinking, where it's not the kids, actually, it's the adults that seem to be, if I may say in inverted commas, the problem.
I do agree with you, and I struggle with the same things myself. So I think it's, I think we have to acknowledge that now the digital space can come to us, and they can find us at any point in our day. We can be sitting, you know, getting into bed at night, and we're looking at our phone and we're replying to an email, which, again, those are the things where we need to be aware that there is a real risk here. So I think that awareness is the first thing, and ask yourself the question, if I'm spending an extra hour on my phone and not investing in sleep, if I do that 7 days a week, you know, there's 7 hours of sleep that I've cheated myself out of. So I think it's just initially the awareness piece is important. And then, you know, our platform is designed for busy people. We acknowledge how busy everyone is. We know how much pressure everyone is under in the economy, and just to make ends meet and make a family situation work and viable, etc. So we try and actually cater for the busy people and just try and help put them in some rituals in their day. Just some rituals. And typically I find the rituals that are really important is, how do you start your day? And how do you end your day? And during the day, what's your relationship with food? You know, I often have my wife coming home from work and she say, I'm starving. I didn't have any time for lunch. Mm-hmm. And that's when I need to, you know, we need to support each other in saying, if you're not putting fuel in the tank, there's going to be consequences. So I think it's initially the awareness piece. And then I think it's for everyone to say, what are the key moments in my day that I'm just going to get those right? If I start my day well, typically your morning goes well. And if your morning goes well, your afternoon goes well. Again, around ending the day, those habits around bedtime, those kind of discretionary times when we do actually have the ability to say, you know what, I'm actually going to plug my phone in downstairs and I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to have a bit of device-free time, or I'm going to speak to my partner, or I'm going to read a book or do something that interests me beyond something that I can access through my phone. It's just getting those little habits right that starts to really make a huge difference. And we start to see a swing almost immediately. As soon as that habit's taken traction, you start to see the behavior pattern change.
Yeah, I love what you're saying there about something as simple as a missed lunch. Because we live in an environment, Duncan, where a missed lunch could easily turn into a place where you've gotten takeout. And that then, you know, over time, the energy drain from that kind of habit, for example, or grabbing a packet of chips and a chocolate, or, you know, those things where we're unable to... I think we've lost...
I'm still here.
Oh, sorry. I thought we'd lost that. So, where we've, you know, in a digital world, our minds are not all there all the time. We're not, you know, paying attention to what's going on. And then suddenly we're eating all sorts of things that are just driving our mind to be not very clear. You know, there's no clarity in our day. And, you know, as we go on in our days with those habits, you spoke about the healthy habits. I'm just bringing in the other side, is that if we continue on that trajectory of, you know, unhealthy food, missed lunches, missed dinners, always on our phones, we got some disaster coming, don't we, Duncan?
Yeah, and I think that's where we need to just have that honest conversation and say, if I don't eat properly, and I do that every day of the week, mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to be feeling good on the weekend, that I can then go and enjoy my weekend and indulge a little bit and go and have a nice lunch with friends or with family. So if we can start to kind of just see the choices that appear every day, they really do. If you think about your day today, there's so many choices that you've made already, and there's choices that you're going to make through the rest of your day, okay, which could really impact and compound, you know. Getting up, you know, 15 minutes earlier and just having a, you know, a quiet moment, sitting, having a cup of tea, or just kind of gathering yourself, that could be a completely transformative habit for you. So it's the choices that are all in front, all around us and everywhere. If we can start saying, well, I'm not going to be perfect. No one's expecting anyone to be perfect. Let's be clear on that. But there's a few choices that you could have made this morning, or that you can still make today, which are going to be impactful for you. And if you can start getting some rhythm and habit around those, then we have something new and exciting building.
Absolutely. So today we're talking to our listeners. We're talking about why can't we do it all and how we deal with it, but also looking at some of the, you know, better habits we can actually build into our day. We're going to take a very short break for some ads, and when we come back, we'll be back with Duncan. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International with me, Sister Faiza Munshi, on the New Horizons program. My guest is Duncan Woods. We're talking about basically balancing life in a good way. Duncan, let's come back to this topic of well-being on a daily basis. You know, you highlighted some of the important things. You spoke about the importance of food, nutrition, movement, rest, etc. Why is it so important to create this environment? And how would this environment of good habits in terms of nutrition, movement, rest, balancing act of having sort of these contracts in place of how we, you know, spend family time together. How does this really lead to success long term? And for those who just haven't managed to even start this journey, what would be your advice in terms of some of the practical steps to well-being for people to thrive in any environment?
Thank you, Faiza. Great question. So I think the important thing for everyone to understand is that it's important that you run your own race. So there's no expectation on, you know, often people feel quite intimidated about some of these topics around health and fitness, around mental well-being, and around just kind of calming your mind and getting your mind in a decent place. So I think what's really important as a starting point is everyone to understand, let's run our own race. There's no expectation on you. Not everyone is built the same. Not everyone comes from, you know, lives in the same context. So I think that's really important. And then, you know, the good news is that humans are quite simple beings. We need to move. We need to move our bodies. We know that by now, that the movement and what happens, the processes that happen in our bodies, the blood flow, the hormones that get released, and all that kind of science tells us that that is an important part of the day. So movement is the first pillar that we work on. The second pillar we acknowledge is food. We are literally a machine that needs fuel. So just helping people to think about and be inspired by, when I'm having something to eat, I'm actually fueling my system. And when you start to kind of, it doesn't have to be perfect, when you start to think, well, you know, I think my system could really benefit from a healthy lunch today, or I think my system could really benefit if I made sure I had more water during the day. So I'm just going to carry a water bottle around with me, and I'm going to be constantly feeling good about fueling my system in the right way. And then the third piece is just, you know, calming the mind. Humans are really, we live in a busy world, and our brain is often feeling overwhelmed. So if we can just have a few habits that just kind of anchor us, if you do those three things right, look after your body through movement, look after your body through nourishment, look after your mind through having some tools that just help you to center yourself and get back to a clear and calm version of you. If you do those three things well, we've developed a good platform to work off. We can achieve a lot. We can achieve just about anything if we have those three things in place. So that's kind of where we focus, and just try and help people with those three pillars.
What I find interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I find when we place sort of some emphasis on our minds first and become a bit more conscious of the day, then we start paying attention to when our bodies say to us, we need better nourishment and we don't want the takeout and we need more water or we need more movement. But oftentimes we're so busy being running, running the rat race that we don't hear those signals. And in ignoring those signals, that's where we kind of, you know, wave off the path, so to speak. And we think we kind of want to do everything, but our body's saying to us, either stop because of it's not feeling well, or, you know, find the time to nourish your body a bit better so we can actually keep going in a more positive way.
I totally agree with you. You know, either way, those two scenarios that you described, either way is going to gather momentum and it's going to become a snowball. So if we start to, you know, we're so busy, we're trying our best, and we start to get into the narrative, well, you know, I'm just trying to keep up with the pace, and I'm just going to do whatever it takes to keep up with the pace, which is totally understandable and it's totally human. But let's not let the snowball get too big and too fast that we can't stop it, and then we have, you know, a life event that really brings us to our knees.
Absolutely.
So let's look to rather say, let's build a snowball, and again, run your own race. Start slow, start small. Try and do one thing today that you're going to try and repeat tomorrow is how we start to get the snowball to start moving in the right direction, because that will also gather momentum. So it's really about just thinking about how you'd like to be maybe 3 months from now. What would you like to be different? Would you like to feel more in control of which part of your life? And then just say, what is the one habit that I'm going to do every day for the next 3 months, or I'm going to endeavor to do every day for the next 3 months that's going to bring about that change? So yeah, it's really taking just that power back, giving yourself that power back.
I think it's a wonderful way to look at things, because often we just want a bite of a chunk and then we sink. I know you don't have too much of time left, but I want to ask you these questions with regard to time, which you brought up earlier. You mentioned how time is looked at as such a valuable commodity, right? How can we effectively prioritize our time, make sure we're investing it, we're using this time for things that really matter to us, you know, our personal values, our goals, what we want to achieve, because time really is flying by at a pace, because there's so much happening. So how do we make sure that on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis, we are actually making sure that we're using time to our benefit?
So Fazal, the most valuable tool that I've tried to use with the people that I work with is just to say, let's look at the opposite. The opposite is often a very powerful way of bringing things into focus. If I didn't look after how much I'm moving, or how I'm nourishing the body, or how I'm kind of helping myself to stay calm mentally, if I didn't do that, what would the consequences be? And when we think about the consequences over time, it starts to become a very unappealing picture. So sometimes humans, we are good at avoiding things that we don't want to happen more than we are inspired to do things that we do want to happen. So when you look at your time, it's probably about saying, looking at everything with scrutiny and saying, where do I need to say no? There's a lot of things that we say yes to, and especially with moms. Moms, you know, hear their name called so many times. Mom, can you do this? Mom, can you do that? Sometimes there's what we say no to is where we can free up a little bit of capacity. So that when you are saying yes to something, it's the full you. You're 100% invested, involved, and committed to helping that happen, because you've actually been kind to yourself and to others by saying no to things which are actually just actually draining of your time and your ability.
I think as a mom, I can completely understand that. Like, you know, I think when you hear the word mom, we so often just give in. Perhaps many moms listening may also understand this, as we so often give in, but we're not fully there in that action. We're not fully, you know, there's moments where we're just doing it for the sake of doing it. And what you're saying is that we need to have those non-negotiables in place, even as mothers, as whether you're working, not working, whatever it might be. But as human beings, to have those non-negotiables in place and say, you know, at some time, we've got to start valuing our own time and energy. Hey, Duncan?
Agreed. You know, every mom deserves to be empowered, and every person deserves to be empowered. So often, let's look at our choices and what we're saying yes to. Is it disempowering me, or is it disempowering me? And when we can make those kind of frank assessments, then we can support our kids to be maybe more independent, or to do things themselves, or just to establish some healthy boundaries. So let's empower ourselves by our choices.
Absolutely. I just want to finish off saying that oftentimes as moms, some of the things we say no to, I was going to say exactly what you said, is it makes it very empowering for our children to then start learning either life lessons, practical lessons, or, you know, being able to learn to butter toast, whatever it might be. But simple things that start then becoming a life skill for them, and we can then thank ourselves later.
Agreed. It's a good investment, and I totally relate. Totally relate with my kids as well.
No, for sure. All right. So, Duncan, just to finish off, what would be some of your top tips for people to remember from today's program? And also, what would you like, if they were to try and find you either on social media or anywhere else, to get in touch, where would they find you?
So I can be found on LinkedIn. Duncan Woods is the name, or you can go to the So Serene app, which is web-based, and that's where you can find some of the tools. So I think, I think to kind of summarize what we said is just look to your own life and look at the habits that you would love to that you'd love to see some change and some support in doing that. And then there's our app and there's our platform and there's many others as well. But if we could just put in some habits and start with today, one habit today that's going to start the snowball going in the right direction, I think is such a good investment. And, you know, we spoke a little bit about being empowered. This is the first step to being empowered. And it's often the smallest steps that start the movement. So, yeah, so I think to everyone, thank you for the conversation. I've loved it. And, see what you can do today to start the snowball in the right direction.
I think that's some good advice. Thank you very much for your time on Radio Islam International, and have a good day, Father.
My pleasure, Father. Thank you.
To our listeners, that was Duncan Woods. We were talking about, you know, being able to balance our lives in a way where we think we can do it all, but sometimes it just snowballs in the wrong direction. So we're going to take a brief sleep break, and then I just want to look at some of the things Duncan was talking about, particularly with regard to habits. How is it that we can form better habits moving forward, especially coming out of the month of Ramadan? We're in this, you know, we're still unsure-footed about how the days need to go, and how do we then bring some of our habits from the month of Ramadan into our new month, into our new days, into what we can do going forward. For now, a short break. When we come back, more on habits. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to New Horizons. Me, Sister Faiza Munshi. We've just come out of the month of Ramadan. We've had this conversation with Duncan Woods with regard to, you know, we can't always do it all, but we need to be able to make sure we're snowballing in the right direction. And he mentioned a lot about habits. And I want to look at this, you know, aspect of habits. And I look at it perhaps coming out of the month of Ramadan, you know, starting to question ourselves, especially now. It's just been a week or so, just under a week that Ramadan's over. We're starting to fall back into life the way we knew it. The rat race starts all over again. It's really nice because in the month of Ramadan, because we tend to calm ourselves down a little bit. We take away the extramurals, we take away the madness. We also had a bit of a break for some schools, had a bit of a school break, a madrasa break, all of that. And so now it starts becoming important. How is it that we're going to spend from this year to the next Ramadan? Let's look at it in that way. In a way, because we often look, you know, we look at the new year and we look at January as a new year. Maybe it's time to look at habits from now to the next Ramadan. What is it that we can build on, and how is it that we build on habits? And, you know, what is the best way to actually do it? Because my guest had mentioned it a couple of times, the importance of it, etc. I thought, let's just get into it a little bit again. We haven't spoken about this in a while. And it always starts, you know, anything that we do, always starts with intentions. As we did perhaps the beginning of our month of Ramadan, we start with an intention of the Quran and the Khitams and the Dhikr and whatever we wanted to do. And let's be honest, when we put things down on paper, even if we're not following it to the T, we get pretty close. And that's where I think our eyes open to the fact that, you know, we can't live our lives in a way that's just, we wake up and see what the day has to bring, particularly as mothers, because that's often the way life goes for many of us. We wake up, whether you're working part-time, full-time, etc. I think for full-time moms, it's a bit more structured. But I do think those who are part-time, those who are running home businesses, those who are at home, stay-at-home moms, it's really a matter of, let's wake up today and see what the day brings. And that can be a problem in the sense that every day can just become another day where we didn't exercise, another day where we didn't look after ourselves, another day we didn't take care of our own mental health, another day where we didn't take care of our own nutrition, for example, took care of everyone else. And perhaps it's time to set those boundaries. It's time to put in those, you know, habits that we feel are important. So the first thing to keep in mind is that you need to set your intentions. Sometimes we have certain routines, and some of them can blossom into habits, but not all of them will. So sometimes you've got to be very particular in your intention about what you want to develop a habit around. So the point is, pick the behavior you want to turn into a habit quite wisely. So if you have been looking, for example, to make a difference in your nutrition, and you know that probably your worst meal of the day is breakfast, then maybe for now, that first, you know, aspect of your life with regard to your nutrition needs to be breakfast, because people often say it's the most important meal of the day. And I've recently been following this whole trend of a woman called the glucose goddess, and she looks at how nutrition and what we eat and what we feed our bodies and what it does to our minds, what it does for, you know, later on in life, dementia, Alzheimer's. It looks at so many different things. And so it often comes down, when we talk about mental health, we talk about our lives, talk about productivity, comes down to simple things as nutrition. And that's always the building block. And so when we're talking about habits today, I think it's really important as moms, as women, as caregivers, to be able to make sure that our nutrition is looked after. We do often look after, make sure that the nutrition of everyone around us is perfectly good. Everyone has their vitamins and is taking in as much as they possibly can. Their school lunches are packed. You know, we guilt ourselves over putting the wrong sort of too much sugar in a school lunch, for example, but we never guilt ourselves of our own not making time for ourselves. So pick that habit wisely. And, you know, just do it. If you want to drink more water, like, Duncan mentioned earlier, is that if you want to drink more water during the day, just keep a bottle. Like, be more disciplined around the fact that you've given all of your kids have water bottles, your spouse has got a water bottle, you make sure they've got lemon in theirs and fruit in another one, and everyone's so happy with what they have. But you, on the other hand, are in the kitchen sort of preparing meals, and you're right near a water source, which is the tap, but you're the one that has taken in the least water for the day. So I think many of us know this to be true. So if we want to build a habit of drinking water, for example, you know, you fill up those water bottles that tell you, you know, you're almost there, or you're really lacking in how much you're drinking right now. You need to keep going. And we need to do those little things for ourselves. Build on those small habits, you know. Make sure that we understand why we're doing it. So whether it's something to build our mental health, so we're taking time in the morning to sit down, make our dhikr, clear our minds, have a few minutes each morning and make sure that we do that every day, build that into a habit for our mental health, or whether we're looking at building our nutrition, or whether we're looking at building into an exercise routine because we've really been struggling, or we're building into getting out of a difficulty. For example, many people are finding themselves as they get older, or even younger people who haven't been moving as much, as sitting behind computers, they're having issues with their back, for example, because of posture. And so that may be a habit you need to build into your life because you've been neglecting that part of you. You've been neglecting looking after, you know, making sure that you take the right nutrition for your body or get some sunlight. And you seem to be feeling a bit down recently because you're just not getting enough sunlight. Vitamin D is not there. So for every human being, every person listening to the program, everyone who listens, it's going to be a different aspect of life. You know, the habit forming is going to be very different for each person. For you, like I said, it might be nutrition. So somebody else, it might be they need to start reading again. You know, I know it's a simple little thing that I'm saying, but how many of us have just designed ourselves to watching social media like this on a loop, you know, for hours on end? We just watch, and we've become so distracted with it that we can't even finish a reel and we skip to the next reel. And let's be honest about it. As adults, even, we need to start being honest about what our habits are becoming. So those are habits that we are forming, but it's snowballing in the wrong direction. So we want to be able to snowball ourselves in the right direction. Let's look at perhaps for somebody who's just been so distracted on their phone, is being able to say every single day, I'm not going to say I'm going to read for an hour. I'm going to say I'm going to read for 10 minutes. You know, I'm going to read a book and actually take a book out and read. You may not be able to pay attention initially because you haven't been doing this for a while, but stick with it. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, but put an intention down, set that intention down, and understand that we're going to have roadblocks, right? We're going to reflect on why to date you haven't regularly like kept to your habits. Whichever behavior it is you've been trying to form, I can almost guarantee that you've tried to form this habit before and you've fallen short. That's because you need to familiarize yourself with your own blockers. So you need to identify what's going to happen. So for example, if you've made the, if you've decided that the habit you want to form is that you want to drink more water, but you're in the car for half the day dropping and picking up your kids, and you never have a water bottle in your car. So that's a contingency plan. Okay, you know that whenever you're dropping and picking up the kids is when you, there's a lot of time you spend there. So keep a bottle in the car, and that will be your, you know, the roadblock that you seem to overcome is a simple hack, simple thing of keeping that. Maybe you said you're going to go to the gym or do some exercise, right? And you say, you decide that you want to build a habit of going to a gym every day, but you know you're not going to get there. So that's already a block because you know that isn't enough time. Then instead say, okay, you're going to do it two or three times a week, but be consistent. Or for example, you're going to walk for 15 or 20 minutes a day. Just building in something. Make sure that you have like a reason. You need to start with your why, and then we need to start then putting in the practical steps to be able to kick off your new routine, your new habit, being able to move in a direction where you really want to go. It's so incredible, though, that we often really we pull back on ourselves almost. I don't know if many of you have noticed. So you'll get into a habit or you'll start doing something with the intention of getting into a habit. And then instead of just building on that, we so quickly leave what we're doing to be able to help others. And so as much as Duncan Wood said, you know, run your race or run your lane, which is what he said, I would say stay in your lane. Like just for a little period of time, for one thing for yourself, to build one habit, just stay in your lane. Don't worry about what's happening with your, you know, everyone else is fine. Your spouses, your kids, they're all taken care of. You know this because you've taken care of them. You've made sure everything's in place for them. But for once, just stay in your lane. Make that schedule, place that boundary. Make sure that everyone in your house knows that you are going to block out that time. If you've decided that 5:30 a.m., you are going to sit down after your salon, you're going to just be quiet. You know, you're going to either read your Quran, do a dhikr, just close your eyes, take stock of your life. Then everyone, if anyone wakes up at 5:30 in the morning with a nudging of they need breakfast because they're hungry suddenly, that is not a problem for you because that's the boundary that needs to be put into place. So we need to all just start with these little habits because it's really, really important for us to be able to start taking care of ourselves in an environment that is just filled with distraction. It is utterly filled with distraction. There is no two ways about it. Many, many, many people are suffering with the fact that they can barely think straight with the amount of distraction that they have in a day. So I think it's really important, no matter what habit we've decided to form, no matter what habit we've decided that we want to take on for ourselves as individuals, that we start with a good intention. We look at what are some of the blockers, what's going to come in my way, what do I need to plan, you know, in order to make sure that that is not a blockage for me. And then take that habit slowly but surely in our lane, stay in our lane and keep going, you know, and understand that in order for us sometimes to build habits within our homes, within our in our lives, we may have to set some boundaries, and particularly with our spouses and our children. Those boundaries will have to be set first with them before anyone else, because they're often the ones that would be like nudging, you know, can you please help me with this or that? And the particular time when you've decided that you're going to exercise or you are going to take time for yourself or you are going to take some, you know, alone time, that will be the time often that we get tested with those closest to us who want to nudge us and say, I need your help with something. But there needs to be that boundary, that space where they understand, nope, this 15 minutes, just don't even try. Like, you know, you've got another 23 hours and however minutes in the day to bother your mother, to bother your father, to bother anyone, you know, whoever's trying to form this habit, or to bother your spouse, for example. But those 15 to 20 minutes is theirs. And it's not a lot to ask of ourselves to be able to take care of ourselves from a physical, mental, emotional way that will just lead us into a better space. And I like this idea that Duncan put into my mind of the snowball. You know, it's looking at a good snowball as opposed to one that is negative, one that is just going at a pace that is just going to crash, and one that is slowly gaining momentum, you know, something that just slowly, 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 slowly gains momentum and goes on a path that is their own, that is just one that they can find success in, inshallah, and be able to be to live this life a lot more patiently, consciously, and with a commitment to what is good for them as an individual. Because whenever we're better to ourselves, we're better to everyone else around us. That's just what I'd like to end today's program on, is just understanding that when we take care of ourselves, everyone else around us benefits. So let's do that, inshallah, taking care a little bit more of ourselves from this day going forward. Until next time, it brings us to the end of today's program. Alhamdulillah. Until next time, from me, Sister Fahima Munshi, it's wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.